New Mexican reports they could release as much as 5 to 10 million gallons a day. 42 degrees in Santa Fe, sunny today, breezy, highs near 70, turning windier tomorrow and cooler. For KSFR News, I'm Bill Dupuy.
Looking for something to do in Santa Fe? You can visit santafeculture.org. Scan the calendar for fun things to do, buy tickets, plan a trip, search for an artist, gallery, movie, restaurant, or browse local resources, list free classifieds, even learn about kid-friendly things to do, and there's much more. It's free, it's easy, it's Santa Fe in just one click. Online at santafeculture.org. Brought to you by Santa Fe Economic Development Division and New Mexico CultureNet, tax-exempt organization.
KSFR programming is underwritten by Locals Care. Locals Care community cards reward you for shopping and dining at over 100 locally owned businesses. You can support a Santa Fe nonprofit and earn rewards for yourself at any Locals Care business. Find program information and a current list of participating businesses and nonprofits at locals-care.com. Offered in cooperation with the Santa Fe Alliance and sponsored by Century Bank, Los Alamos National Bank, the New Mexican, and the City of Santa Fe. KSFR programming is underwritten in part by the Santa Fe Farmers Market. The indoor winter market is open every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at El Museo Cultural. The winter market features greens, root vegetables, chilies, beef, lamb, eggs, chicken, tomatoes, spices, baked goods, and much more. Also serving coffee, tea, pastries, breakfast burritos, and organic breakfast calzones. The indoor market at El Museo is on Paseo de Peralta at Guadalupe, across from Site Santa Fe. For more information, call 983-4098.
Good morning, Santa Fe, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're going to be talking about all sorts of things today on the program. We're going to be talking about the court-appointed special advocates program. We're going to be talking about a new film that's screening tonight only at the Santa Fe Film Festival. But first, I would like to remind people that this is the second weekday of the KSFR Fun Drive. And during the KSFR Fun Drive, we ask you, our listeners, to call 428-1393 and make a contribution to this station. There are many reasons to do that. One of the reasons is that you can get terrific premiums. One of the reasons is that you can support the programs you love. The main reason is because public radio is a tremendous resource. It's supported by listeners. We don't tax you. We ask you to do it by your own volition. And that is the reason to call. This is voluntary. 428-1393 will get you what basically 24 hours of programming, 365 days a year, the BBC, this program, the incredible jazz programs, a lot of amazing music at night, Bill Dupuy's local news on the hour, many hours throughout the day, his terrific show at noon, the news hour from 7 to 8 right before this. All of those things are available to you for a small contribution. And that contribution, get this, is of a size of your choosing. 428-1393 is the number. I would like everybody who is listening today to pick up the phone and make a contribution. If you're calling by your cell phone and you're driving, be sure to either pull over or use that hands-free headset or that special voice dialing system that I don't have, but you might, that allows you to just say the number. Or wait till you get to work, but call 428-1393 and make a contribution to KSFR. We're going to be hearing from back in the control room. We're here at the Santa Fe Baking Company, where the coffee is fabulous and the people are even better. But we're going to be hearing from the control room what is actually happening this morning, to what extent the phones are ringing. We ask you not to take public radio for granted, and we ask you to understand your part in the whole deal. It's sort of like voting. No one person can elect a president or a city councilor or a mayor or a dog catcher, but everybody's contribution together makes that election make sense. It's the same thing with public radio. Everybody puts in their 2 cents or $2 or $200 or $20 or whatever it is that they want to contribute, and they get back this resource, public radio. If you like this show, Some people love this show. Some people like this show. Some people listen occasionally. Whatever your relationship is to this particular program, we ask you to call now, 428-1393. And I'd like to welcome now Janice Quinn. She is the executive director of the court-appointed special advocates serving this county and a couple of other counties. Welcome to KSFR.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We're going to talk about CASA in just a moment, but first I wanted to thank you for bringing so many of your people into KSFR yesterday.
Oh, you're so welcome. We really enjoy it. It's so much fun to answer the phone and have people want to give you money. As a nonprofit, that doesn't happen too often.
So you actually brought some of your volunteers or staff or board people down to answer the phones?
All the above, from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. last night.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
So people were on shifts. They got to enjoy the fabulous food.
Yes, it was good. Lasagna was great.
Oh, I missed that lasagna. What happens when you actually give your time or give your money to KSFR? What does it feel like?
Well, it feels like you're part of a larger community. It feels like you're really giving back to folks who spend so much time and so much volunteer time, like our volunteers do, in making sure that the public knows what's going on in the local towns. KSFR gives so much support to nonprofits. They've been really good to us for years. It just feels great. It's fun. There's a lot of camaraderie. I don't know. We enjoy it. This is the third time we've done it.
Well, 428-1393 is the number, and there's a real synergy that happens between the organizations that support KSFR and the organizations that we support by giving them airtime, by letting their message go out to the community. And there's a synergy between KSFR and its many, many listeners. I don't think there's any listeners who can say, oh, I really don't care whether this is on the air or not. They listen because they do care. And that is the reason, and especially for first-time callers, if you've never called and made a pledge to public radio before, this is really the time to do it. You know, it's not going to be around forever if the same listeners always give and everybody else relies on them to carry their burden. 428-1393 is the number. You're nodding, Janice.
I know that number.
Let's talk about CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates of New Mexico. What is this organization? What do you do?
Well, we're a local nonprofit. We've been here for almost 12 years now, and we train community volunteers to advocate for children who are in the foster care system because they were abused or neglected at home.
And so foster care, children who were abused or neglected in their actual parents' house.
In their actual parents' house. What happens is if they're abused physically, emotionally, sexually, or they're abandoned, or they're just neglected, the state comes in after trying to work with them for a while and actually removes the children from the home and puts them in temporary foster care, which could last as long as 2 to 3 years, while the parents are working on treatment plans to help them address the problems that cause the kids to be removed in the first place.
So this is traumatic for everybody, parents and children alike, but especially
Absolutely.
The children who don't even have a context for being outside of their home.
Right. Too often the kids think it's something that they did. You know, which is pretty common. And
have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, you know, our kids are anywhere from zero, they're taken at birth because they're drug affected, all the way up to 18. And so we see it all. Right here in Santa Fe, we have over about 150 kids a year who are in care. In our three counties, which is Los Alamos, Rio Arriba, and Santa Fe counties that we serve, about 250 kids every year are taken into care.
And so what is your role? This is not something that it's kind of part of the court system, but it's not really official, but you work with the court system.
Well, actually, we are official, but we don't work for them as far as the fact that we're volunteers. What happens when the kids are removed from their homes is everyone has a lawyer appointed. The children have a lawyer called a guardian ad litem. The mom and dad have a lawyer. The social workers are there appointed to the case, and they have a lawyer. And everybody has their own viewpoint of what's going on. And all those people also have a huge caseload. So they may not be able to focus on the individual needs of the children as much as they should. So a CASA is appointed by the judge to be the outside viewpoint the big picture person and make recommendations about how the case is going and where the children should actually end up permanently.
So what happens, I mean, what is the relationship like? How does the child first get introduced to the CASA volunteer?
Probably at Children, Youth, and Families, when the foster parent bring the children in for supervised visits with their biological parents. And that's usually the first time that the CASA volunteer who's assigned to those children in that one case actually meets with everybody. And then after that, they'll go out to the foster home and they'll see where the kids are living and how they're doing. They'll talk to teachers. They'll talk to grandma and grandpa. They'll talk to aunts and uncles, anybody involved in the child's life, so they can really understand the child's needs and wishes.
And how do they then go about meeting that child's needs and wishes? What is their latitude? How are their hands tied?
All right. Well, we really are unique in this whole system because everyone else is restricted on who they can actually talk to about these cases because they're very confidential, and lawyers can't talk to the other, you know, the dad's lawyer can't talk to mom without asking mom's lawyer. But the CASA can talk to anybody. And so we attend every hearing, and after forming our opinions and seeing what the children need, we put that in a written court report as recommendations, and we actually tell the judge what we recommend and what we think needs to happen.
Now, can you also take the kid out for ice cream?
Well, this is not a Big Brothers Big Sisters type of an organization, although we do partner with them because we realize how important it is for these kids to have fun mentors. We're not alone with the children. So we're court-appointed. We're officers of the court. But we can take them out to lunch with their foster parents, mm-hmm. or as long as there's somebody else there. So we form a bond of trust and friendship, but that's not our main role.
Now, what kind of training does it take for a CASA volunteer to be good at what they do?
Yeah, that's a great question. We give training twice a year, in the spring and in the fall, and we're actually starting on April 14th. And we have two full Saturdays and two evenings, and we train the new volunteers on the court system, the abuse and neglect court system in the children's court, and the federal timelines. We train them on early childhood development, on the effects of abuse and neglect, long-term and short-term effects. We train them on other agencies in the community that can help the parents as well as help the children. We give them a real broad spectrum on how this problem came about, you know, and some solutions and the best ways to fix it. And then that's step one. The rest of the training is when they take their first case.
And there's a kind of on-the-job training that inevitably will happen.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. We have a great support system. We have five mentors who are able to counsel the CASAs as they go along. We have a staff of two, but we have about 75 active volunteers right now.
Now, this is something you've done.
Yes. When I first started working for CASA, I took my first case just so I could see what it felt like.
And what did it feel like? What was it like?
It was scary at first. You know, I felt a little awkward. Here I am, middle-class white woman, you know, and I'm coming in and I'm going to save the day, which is not really the attitude that you should have. But I just found that in talking to the foster parents and meeting with the child that I had in my case and also getting to know the mom a little bit, it's all very human. You know, you just see that people need support, people need guidance, and it becomes more of a team effort, and so you don't feel so awkward about it. It felt really good.
When you see other volunteers who are coming back from their experiences as CASAs, as court-appointed special advocates, what do they say? How do they talk about their experience? What did they get out of it? I mean, they give a lot, obviously, but what do they get out of it?
Well, they get a sense of being a part of a solution. When you look at the problems, they're so huge. You know, all the systems are overburdened, overwhelmed. There's not enough money. There's less money every day. There's multi-generational problems. If you look at it from that surface, you can just throw your hands up and say, I can't make an impact here. But if you work on just one child or with one child, one family, you can really see the difference. And if you stick with that case, which we ask you to do, which could last 2 years at the most usually, you really see the development in trust and you see the difference it makes in the child's life to have a consistent adult, kind of a role model there. So you get a lot out of that. You're a part of the solution. You're doing something instead of just looking at it and feeling bad.
Do you see the parents, let's say that you've got substance abuse problems rampant in New Mexico and children being the main victims of that, do you see people healing?
Yes, but slowly. I mean, the federal guidelines say that in 15 months, the judge has to make a decision about whether or not the children can safely go home again. And if you've got parents who are drug addicted, who have alcohol addictions, who maybe have mental illness, you know, developmental delays, those things don't heal in 15 months. People can make progress. But the cases that come to the court, when they finally come to the court, are the worst ones. Everything has been done to keep the kids out of the court. So the ones that we see are really serious cases. So, you know, I think the state statistics are that 62, 69% of the kids go home again, but the other 30 to 40 don't. They either go to permanent guardianship with a relative or a grandma, or they're adopted, hopefully, by foster parents.
Do you see that, too, foster parents becoming adoptive parents?
Yes, very often.
We're talking to Janice Quinn. She's the executive director of CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates, right here in New Mexico, serving Santa Fe, Rio, Arriba, and Los Alamos counties. Your training is coming up in just a couple of weeks, and the number over there is 820-1500. You don't have to have experience, obviously, in the court system to be a volunteer. What do you need to be a volunteer?
Well, you need to be 21 years old. You need to fill out an application.
Or more.
you need to fill out an application, which includes two releases to do background checks, an abuse and neglect background check and a criminal background check, and personal references that we check on. And then you come in for an interview with either the volunteer coordinator, Molly Fisher, or myself. And after that, you're ready to go.
What do you think are the personal qualities? Like somebody's listening now and says, gee, I think I'd like to do that, but I don't know if I have the... I mean, what does it take?
Well, it takes, it takes a caring heart. It takes common sense. It takes about 7 to 13 hours a month on an average over the whole case, which you can do normally in your own time. Communicating skills, you know, verbal and written are great, although we counsel you through all of those as far as written reports go, which are pretty minimal. It just really takes wanting to make a difference and being able to devote that amount of time. We have folks who are retired. We have folks who are single moms. We have folks who have full-time jobs. They all find the time.
And people who are retired, I would think, would be especially suited to that because they've got a lifetime of experience, perhaps their own children and grandchildren, and they've sort of taken the ups and downs of life already.
Right, yeah. And they make up probably 50% of our volunteer pool right now, retired folks.
Very interesting. Well, Janice Quinn, it's wonderful to have you here on KSFR. The number at CASA is 820-1500. You can also go to casafirst.org for more information, C-A-S-A first, written out. And is there anything you want to let people know before we go?
Well, I just would like to tell everybody that this is a great way to make an impact on the community that we live in and impact the future, because these kids, without any kind of adult intervention and without a consistent adult in their lives, have more homelessness, unwanted pregnancies, substance abuse. Their future is not very bright, but by being a CASA during this most critical time in their lives, while they're, you know, away from their homes and not knowing what their future looks like, can really make a positive impact on them. Really helps the health of our community.
Janice Quinn, thank you so much. Would you like to encourage your folks or our community to make a little pledge right now to KSFR?
Absolutely. All you CASAs out there and all the three counties and all of our friends and all the agencies we work with, please call KSFR and donate some money right now or donate some time this following week during the pledge drive if you can.
428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. And there are people who listen who are in the court system, in social services. There are people who are listening in healthcare, and all of those people, I think you know that KSFR is actually tuned in to the community. And that's something that a lot of commercial radio stations are not, especially if they're owned by big conglomerates who are centralized somewhere. The programming choices are centralized. Even the weather is centralized. you know, they read, I mean, I could read the weather forecast for Tallahassee right now and, you know, pretend that I was there. But in fact, we are local, and we put a great deal of love and care into local programming, and we ask you to give back twice a year just within your means. Report from the control room.
Absolutely, Mary Charlotte. We have a few people to thank. I'd like to start by thanking Keith Gorgeous. Thank you so much. Richard Jenning from Earth Rights Design. He says, this one's for Bill.
Yay!
Yay, Bill Dupuis. Then we have Ruth Alpert to thank. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ruth.
Yeah, Carol Carpenter called in and made a pledge
Carpenter.
As well. And finally, we have Doris Romero to thank.
Thank you, Doris. Thank you, all of you, for making calls. Let's get another 10 calls right away, and here's a little motivation for you. You know, we give away premiums. We give away baseball caps to contributors and wonderful jackets and backpacks, and we're about to give away some movie tickets and things like that. And but the greatest premium that you can get, the greatest gift that you can get, is public radio itself. Public radio is the gift that you get back by contributing to KSFR by calling 428-1393. That said, we have a unique gift. There's only one of them, and you can have it for a contribution of $275. And you're thinking, what can I get for $275? You can get a half-day-long spa treatment at Rock, Paper, Scissors, very generously donated by our friend over there, Melody. It's a half-day spa that includes a manicure, pedicure, a haircut and hairstyle with all the attendant delicious hedonism that goes with those kinds of things. That's for a contribution to KSFR of $275. 428-1393 is the number. 428-1393. Let's get another 10 calls right away during the following break. And I would like you to keep our phone volunteers so hopping that they don't even know what to do with themselves. 428-1393. We're going to hear a commentary from Ron Bloomberg because it is Tuesday. And we're going to hear from some of our beloved underwriters. So stay tuned to KSFR.
It's Ron Bloomberg, just a voice in the crowd. Here's my dilemma. It's pledge week at the station. Now, I can understand why you would call in a pledge. Look at all the goodies you get. Radio Cafe, Journey Home, Bob Edwards, Jazz Blues, one of the great news teams anywhere, Camp Love Wave, The Food Show. So you should be contributing. But what if you were me? I have to write a commentary every week. Get in my car, drive down to the station, record it. Know how much I get paid? Zippo. In fact, it costs me money. Do they ever offer me a piece of carrot cake, a chili burger? No, never had a dinner. So don't you think that's a big enough contribution for me? After all, I'm a writer. That's what I do for a living. I have responsibilities, expenses, a sink that keeps backing up. I should be having my own pledge drive. But you know, I'm going to take the high road here. Know why? Because we're an independent station. We're the underdog. We say what needs to be said. We're the little guy fighting the big conglomerates. I'm not saying I'm the little guy. I'm 6 feet tall. But KSFR needs our support. Even those of us who never even get a piece of carrot cake. I'm going to make my pledge, and so should you. Because Santa Fe needs us. The country needs us. The world needs us. And damn it, the Dixie Chicks need us. Talk to you next week, if you have a minute.
Santa Fe's own Ron Bloomberg can be heard every Tuesday on the Radio Cafe, Thursdays after the news at noon, and then Saturdays after Bob Edwards, just before the top of the 10 o'clock hour.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by Garcia Street Books, located at 376 Garcia Street, where Santa Fe author Lynn Stegner will launch her newest novel, Because a Fire Was in My Head, on Friday, March 30th at 5 o'clock. And on Saturday, March 31st, from 1 to 3 o'clock, Diane Pardue, author of Shared Images, and Native American jewelry artists Yazzie Johnson and Gail Bird will sign copies as well as exhibit jewelry. More information at 986-0151 or garciastreetbooks.com.
KSFR programming is underwritten by the historic Santa Fe Southern Railway. We invite you to hop on board with the Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny will be traveling by train Saturday, April 7th and Sunday, April 8th, giving out goodies to the kiddies on board. so you can don your Easter bonnet and join the fun. Grown-ups, too. Reservations and more information at 989-8600 or online at thetraininsantafe.com.
Dead poets come to life, art dances with drama, students spar with the written word, and music shares the stage with film. The third annual Poem Palooza, a poetry-based extravaganza hosted by the College of Santa Fe, showcases poetry in all its eclectic forms. Join students, faculty, and staff from CSF and local New Mexico high schools as they explore poetry with a twist on Wednesday, March 28th at 7 p.m. in the Greer Garson Theater. The College of Santa Fe is a tax-exempt organization.
428-1393 is the number. It's 831 here at KSFR. And we are in our pledge drive. And some of you may think, pledge drive, that's a pain in the neck. Oh, no. Au contraire. It's exactly the opposite. It is an opportunity for you to give a call, to let people know, to let KSFR know what you think of this station. Think about the programs you listen to on KSFR, and then think about what you would be willing to go without. Would you be willing to go without the Radio Cafe? Would you be willing to go without Bill Dupuis' news? If the answer is, I don't want to go without those things, well then, your decision is already made. Give a call, 428-1393, 428-1393. I would like to get another 10 calls in the next 10 minutes. 428-1393, and phone volunteers are standing by. They are sitting there sipping coffee and eating donuts and pastries and things like that. Make them stop. Get them talking. Get them filling out forms that contain your contribution, your name. Your name will be read on the air unless you don't want it to. If you want to say my name is anonymous, then that is what will go over the air. 428-1393. I'd like now to welcome Marty Rosenberg. He is the chairman of the Santa Fe Film Festival and the Santa Fe Film Center, and Brenda Fox, a filmmaker whose film Conviction screens tonight at the Santa Fe Film Center at 7:45, and it's part of the monthly forum, which happens on the last Tuesday of every month. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's great to have you here. Let's start with you, Marty. Talk about this last Tuesday of the month forum.
Well, it's a continuing series, and for the first time we've, we institutionalized it. And what we found over the course of the last year and a half is that Santa Feans really not only have a voice, but they want to exercise their voice on topics and issues. And so the fourth Tuesday of the month is an issues focus experiential cinema and discussion evening.
Experiential cinema, I love it.
Yeah, because you know the cinema does inform, and it's a very powerful influencing force. But it really needs to be followed up to be effective with dialogue, opinion, and usually the audience really wants to take some personal action. And so the goal of the program is to stimulate all those senses, informational, and all that cognitive force that we have in us, and then have people go out and choose a course of action that they believe will influence positive change, regardless of the content area.
And that is very relevant to you, Brenda Fox. Your film is called Conviction, and Conviction has a double meaning.
It does. The sisters...
It's about three nuns who basically do a political action at a nuclear missile site.
It is, and New Mexico has its own kind of beauty of the land and also its nuclear history, right? New Mexico's known for its lab and its participation in the Manhattan Project and the initiation of the whole unleashing of the atomic energy. So then the sisters acted in Colorado in 2002. They saw the lead-in to the war in Iraq, and they took it upon themselves to create an action at a missile silo site that said, we need to take responsibility in this country for our own nuclear presence in the world. And so they did this Plowshares action.
Now, these three nuns, Ardith Platt, Carol Gilbert, and Jackie Hudson, had they done things like this before?
They've done lots of actions. These women are in their late 50s, and actually Sister Jackie and Sister Ardith are in their 70s now.
And they've been acting as part of the Dominican Order for well over 50 years. So their actions sprang from their own convictions and led to their own conviction.
True enough. And I think the reaction, one of the things that inspires me is that these sisters are studied in the nuclear issues in the United States. They're studied in peace and justice and have been activists for years and years. And it's inspiring to me that they took it upon themselves to act at a time when their voice wasn't being heard, the voice against war, even though the February 15th demonstrations the world over were saying we really don't want, many people in the world did not want the United States to invade Iraq. And the sisters took action. And so I think one of the things that I love about showing the film with audiences is their own inspiration to act in the world, to create a voice for themselves and act proactively.
Now, an action like that, as they make it very clear, isn't going to actually achieve the effect that they want. In other words, three nuns breaking down a fence and climbing up and doing the things that they did aren't going to dismantle the nuclear weapons complex of the United States of America. What did they hope to achieve, and what do you think they did achieve?
Well, the sisters will say, and they say in the film, that their purpose for the action was to be faithful. That they heard their call to be a voice of resistance, and they call it civil resistance, not civil disobedience, because they saw the invasion of Iraq as essentially an illegal act against international law. They see the presence of these nuclear weapons based on the Non-Proliferation Treaty as an illegal act. So their crossing into a missile silo base was for them a necessity of resistance to the government. What did they hope to achieve? I think they will say that they donned their white Tyvek suits, the citizen weapons inspection team. So I think their desire was to inspire citizens' interaction, citizens' awareness of these weapons. Many people, citizens in Colorado, do not know about the 49 Minuteman III missiles that are littering the land. They don't know the details of the toxicity of these weapons, the half-lives of these weapons. They just don't know these things. So,
including, apparently, the neighbors who live right there.
True enough. There's so many characters in this film that I think are really fascinating. And Doris Williams, there's a woman who is the caretaker of the land around the truck, or around where the nuclear missile base is, where the sisters did the action. And she herself is in her 70s and an activist in her own right, but completely against what the sisters did and how they did it. And I think speaks about disarmament and her desire to have these weapons. And so there's a lot of characters. Doris Williams is one, and Ted Haggard is in the film as a counterpoint to how the Christian faith might inform one's politics.
You really brought in the right-wing evangelical perspective.
It's true, and the right-wing, the relationship between the right-wing religious complex and the military-industrial complex in Colorado Springs in particular.
So was this whole area right near Colorado Springs?
The area the sisters did the action is in northeastern Colorado, right up on the Wyoming border, and Colorado Springs is south of Denver.
Okay, so they're not actually near each other, but that was the fellow you filmed in Colorado Springs, which is, I think, where Focus on the Family
very close
is,
to Focus on the Family. And he talks about all the Christian ministries, the para-Christian ministries that go hand in glove with the military, with the U.S. military.
We're talking to Brenda Fox. Now, we're going to turn back to our fundraiser for a moment. If you make a contribution during this hour, during this half hour, right until the end of the news on the hour at 9, you can actually get a pair of tickets to this film tonight for a contribution of $35. Now, if you're willing to give 10 times that much, you can get a gold pass, which Marty Rosenberg has very generously donated to the Santa Fe Film Center, which means for the next, what is it, the next year, Marty, you can go to, with a guest, to any film at all. That's a
gabillion-dollar value, yours for $350 by calling 428-1393, 428-1393. It's a marvelous thing. It's a gold pass. It's actually gold in color, and it will get you into any film at the Santa Fe Film Center along with a guest. Marty, talk about public radio and what public radio means to you.
Well, I think we can hear it in the background, which is the voice of the people. Well, maybe the smoothie too, but the voice of the people is really alive and well. But I think what's special about public radio, and particularly Mary Charlotte, what you do, is that you get to the root of many, many issues. You know, Santa Feans, I believe, are a really vocal, very passionate, in fact, a rebellious community. And to keep their attention, our attention, as you do, from 8 to 9 a.m. Daily, takes a very unique competency. And the thing that impresses me most about KSFR and your program in particular is I listen to it every morning, and it's really clear that not only do you do your homework, but as a listener, I can say I really see what you mean. And you know, when it's radio, how do you see what someone means? And I think it's because I feel, and I think your favorite listeners do, is that you bring us into your conversation. The questions that you ask and the personal insights, this is not what mass media does today in its conglomerate world. This is really what independent radio does, and I think you emulate the best of it.
Thank you, Marty. Well, that's an awfully kind thing to say. 428-1393. If you agree with anything at all that Marty Rosenberg just said, call 428-1393. Report from the control room.
Absolutely, Mary Charlotte. We have a few people to thank.
Yay.
We have Darla Swanson to thank. Thank you, Darla. HD Solutions Editing Studio.
Thank you.
Has called and made a pledge. Melissa.
Thank
whoever
you, Melissa.
She is has called. And then we got a pledge from the Gonzales Elementary School in honor of Bonanza Day on May 12th.
Okay.
And that's it for now. But, you know, Marty has...
That was 5 calls. Ladies and gentlemen, I asked for 10 calls. There's at least 1,000 of you listening. Call right now. And for those of you who say, you know, oh, I'm not going to call right now, or I don't have any money right now, okay, let's cut a deal. The deal is you call with 10 bucks. If you cannot afford 10 bucks, then call with 5. But it has to be something. It has to be at least a token of your affection for KSFR and a token of your listenership. If you listen every morning, well, it's time to do it. It's time to do it now. This isn't free. It costs us money. And it doesn't cost you money out of your taxes or out of your paycheck, but it does cost you money if you have the conscience to understand to call 428-1393, 428-1393. And if you're calling out of area, it's 1-888, what is the number, Laurel? I can't remember.
It out of the area is 1-866.
That's right.
90.7 KSFR.
And so that's 1-866-907-5737. I'm looking at my cell phone.
Yeah.
9737. 1-866-907-5737. So if you're calling, for example, from Española or from Pecos or someplace where you have to dial the 1-505 and you don't want to pay the 35 cents, well, we'll pick up the tab. So give a call. 428-1393. Brenda, are you a public radio listener?
Absolutely. Boulder has a fantastic station, KGNU, Amy Goodman, and...
David Barsamian,
and yeah, lots of great radio folks.
How has the presence of public radio affected your ability to publicize your film?
KGNU has been a great support, actually, of the whole process, both the production and also publicity.
Now, a film like this, you're not going to get corporate support. You're not going to get big money. How did you go about making it?
We had a woman with the Secure World Foundation who was aware of the story of the sisters and inspired by their action and their boldness and gave us seed money to do what we did. So we needed a lot of money to do the production. And I was talking with Marty earlier about the production value and how hard it is to make. The stories are out there all over, and documentaries are being made, you know, all the time right now with very important issues. Robert Greenwald has changed the world of information, and I think the audiences are hungry for, we were talking about this last night, audiences are super hungry for real information and deep information. So KGNU has been a great support.
Have you found, Marty, that there's more of an audience for documentaries than there was, say, 10 years ago?
Well, Mary Charlotte, I think it's really a revolution that we have right now in terms of content. Stories on a global level. The web links us together informationally and digitally, and the tools to tell the stories are including the software as well as the cameras, are so inexpensive today that we really have an explosion of what I would call media that matters, which is small stories that have universal impact that are coming to the forefront. And the challenge that we have is, you know, how do we access that content? How do we search for it? And ultimately, what kind of models will there be that will let us distribute and view that content on a global basis? And that hasn't been sorted out yet.
One of the things I want to say about making this film, this is my first experience in filmmaking. I'm not trained. I have my Master's of Divinity from Chicago Theological Seminary,
right?
And have worked in public ministry for years and years, but not made a film. And of all of the learning, the production end, the technical end, and the end of the story, I would say that when I watch the film or screen it with an audience, there's some sense of deep satisfaction in knowing that I've documented a story that would not have been told, that's showing the sisters back at the missile silo site, narrating what they did and why they did it. Many people don't even know what a missile silo looks like. So when they see this beautiful grassland, prairie, where these things are buried, it's a striking image about what the power, the nuclear power of our arsenal buried in our beautiful land. And so I think people see these sisters in a different way because we filmed it. And I'm all for people taking their cameras and doing more and more of this kind of, which is what public radio does. It finds local stories. It gives that a broader audience, a listening audience, and it makes things both more personal and more universal at the same time.
I am occasionally struck by the fact that I remember walking down a street once and seeing a couple of people just sitting inside their houses, apparently doing nothing. And I thought, this person is 10 novels. You know, each one of these people has stories that you couldn't possibly even begin
exactly
to document and fill a book. And every person is like that in one way or another. And so there's this inevitable process, if you are telling stories, to edit, to select. So much is left out. So little is actually put in, but you try to get to the heart of it.
That's a good point. And I'm not sure that this piece gets exactly to the heart of it. I think that this story of the sisters is unlike any other story in America today because it's a convergence of the feminine, the force of the feminine, how these women acted, the fact that it's this radical action taken by aging women, really nuns in conflict with the world's only superpower and the largest nuclear arsenal in the history of the planet. And it's this very interesting, I think, dynamic of our human survival and the question about how we go about making change in the world. And
I was wondering as I was watching it last night, do these nuns convince people? You know, they certainly, I mean, in terms of preaching to the choir, all the people who already love them are going to love them just as much or more. But they didn't seem to make too much of a dent on their peer, the caretaker lady, or on the people who didn't like them. And I was thinking about that in terms of, you know, you've got people like Martin Luther King and Gandhi and so forth are brought up in the film. And those are people who, like it or not, made a huge impact on the people who didn't like them because of just the force of their personality.
But at the time, I don't think that's true. I mean, I think over time, we can look back on Martin Luther King Jr. and say, oh, what a great man he is. But at the time, there was a lot of tension and hostility, and same with Gandhi. I don't think there were many people cheering for Gandhi when he was leading the Salt March. And I think over time we will see, I think we've already seen that the sisters acted before we went to war, and all of the things they predicted in terms of the horrible loss of life, both American and Iraqi civilians. And I think they saw that. There's a prescient quality to what it is they're asking people to absorb or assimilate or to inform themselves about, to educate themselves about. And I think at the end you see not a conversion of who Doris Williams is, but you see the relationship that gets established and her well-wishing, you know, her wishing the sisters well. And I think that speaks to the integrity that they live their life with, and that's in fact more convincing than the action itself, than the plowshares action. And whether they,
if anybody would like to see the film, it's at 7:45 tonight at the Film Center at Santa Fe, and you can get your tickets by calling now, 428-1393. You'll be not only going to the film, but you will be helping KSFR, Report from the Control Room.
Yes. Actually, Mary Shirley, can you repeat the name of that film one more time?
It's called Conviction.
Conviction. Excellent. We do have a couple of people to thank. The Collected Works, with great love towards Mary Charlotte.
Thank you, Collected Works.
Isn't that nice? And then I want to just also thank Mario for his pledge.
Thank you, Mario.
And I wanted to make a correction. I received a report earlier that was wrong. We actually wanted to plug Bike Bonanza Day at Gonzales School.
Oh, okay.
And I said something else earlier.
Bike Bonanza Day,
yeah,
at Gonzales Elementary School in some day of May. What day was it?
You know, I think it was the 12th, but I don't have
Elementary School,
yeah,
and find out about Bike Bonanza Day. And ladies and gentlemen, I think, Laurel, has anybody taken the rock, paper, scissors half-day spa yet?
Not yet. That's still available.
Ladies and gentlemen, think about the following. You go in for an entire half day, perhaps ladies more than gentlemen, but gentlemen can do this too, either one. Manicure, pedicure, haircut, hairstyle, half day spa at Rock, Paper, Scissors, which is a very cool building. I've been in inside, very cool space, right here in downtown Santa Fe, for a contribution of $275 to Santa Fe Public Radio, KSFR, 428-1393. 428-1393. I think that for many people who are listening to public radio, they really on some level think that it's just going to stay there because other people do it, or because it's always there, or because money just somehow comes out of the sky. And there's something that people learn, and I learned this myself when I was in my early 20s and started listening to public radio, and people said, we need your contribution. And I didn't think it meant my contribution, but then one day I picked up the phone and called, and I realized that I was taking responsibility for this particular public radio station, which was in Boston, where I was living at the time. And it felt really good, and it felt really different. And this whole issue of taking responsibility, I mean, it's one of the reasons that we're talking about your film today, Conviction. People take responsibility in different ways. Some people take responsibility through going to missile silos and doing actions there. Some people take responsibility just simply by giving a contribution of $5 or $10 or $20 or $50, or like the generous Marty Rosenberg, tickets to the Santa Fe Film Center, or like Rock, Paper, Scissors, by making this contribution of the manicure and pedicure. People do it in different ways, but the common theme is responsibility. Taking responsibility for not only yourself, your life, the cleanliness of your floors and dishes, the, you know, health of yourself and your children, which is a huge job, but just that little extra step of going outside of yourself into the community and saying, I believe in this institution, in this community, and this institution, in this case, is public radio. 428-1393. It doesn't have to be a big contribution. It just has to be a contribution. Brenda Fox, your film Conviction, what kind of screenings and audiences has it gotten, and what kind of responses have you had from your audiences?
I've loved the responses from the audience. I had a 7-year-old boy in Vail. I did a screening at a elementary school in Vail, and a woman who saw it at the Bioneers Conference in Boulder invited it up there and then actually paired it with a ski movie. And I thought how odd it was to bring Allison Gannett, a fabulous world-class extreme skier, and she had some of the footage of jumping off these 3,000 vertical drops. And she was so inspired by these nuns. And so what I find is that young folks love these women, and they're so moved by women who are engaged and active, and it's completely the other extreme to Hollywood's kind of glamorized version of the feminine, right? I mean, you see these women with their lined faces and their long histories. And so kids have loved it. College students have responded very well to it. And we actually took about a 25-minute cut of it to Ted Haggard's church and screened it before Ted Haggard and about 30 of his leadership team. And we would play a portion of it and then have a discussion afterwards and then play another portion of it and have a discussion. And
what was that like?
It was absolutely fascinating. Their discussions of what the sisters did and why they did it and their reactions to Ted Haggard. And some people on the left have said that I'm a little heavy-handed in the editing with Ted. And he loved it. He loved seeing himself on camera, and he's very savvy about the camera. And so I think that they perceived the integrity of the sisters. And for me, what was satisfying about it was that many people, as you said, who are not the choir already, who are already not kind of on board with the sisters, won't even take the time to listen to the story because it's not in their... It isn't in their world, you know, of information. It's certainly not in the mass media. The mainstream media didn't cover the story a lot. They covered the trial in Denver. And I think the reaction that the sisters get, that they engender this kind of hostility from the courts, the federal courts, and from the church, and from the Air Force. They were held for 35 or 40 minutes on the ground, you know, in handcuffs. It took the Air Force 45 minutes to respond to the sisters on this nuclear missile silo. So I guess people respond, audiences respond to different parts of the story based on where they come from, and for me that's always very engaging.
We're talking to Brenda Fox, and her film is Convicted. We're running out of time. You can get a pair of tickets to this film by calling 428-1393, making a contribution to KSFR. Ask for the tickets when you call 428-1393, and your name will be at the door at the Santa Fe Film Center tonight at 7:45 on Tuesday night, the last Tuesday of the month, is part of this interactive forum. Is that the right words?
It's called the forum.
Not to be confused with the forum at the College of Santa Fe, which
Correct.
Is a building. But it's the last Tuesday of every month that we talked about last month's film, and we will probably talk about next month's film on the last Tuesday. Marty Rosenberg, thank you so much for being with us and for your great generosity of time and stuff to our station.
Yeah, I want to thank you too, Marty, for bringing this film to the audience in Santa Fe. Thank you very much for your work.
Thank you.
Report from the control room.
Absolutely, Mary Charlotte. We have Anonymous to thank, and Anonymous donates with love to Mary Charlotte and respect for Bill Dupuis' newsroom.
Thank you. And once again, a couple of tickets, a pair of tickets to tonight's film and the Rock, Paper, Scissors half-day spa. And, boy, I don't know. I'm tempted to pay for that one myself, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We are on the web at ksfr.org. You can reach me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, the Jazz Hoedown. Ladies and gentlemen, 428-1393 is the number. We repeat it so often so that you don't even have to write it down. It will be engraved on the inside of your cranium, and then you will just call on that little part of your brain and call 428-1393. You can also, if you are so shy that you don't even want to make a phone call, or if you happen to be sitting at your computer, you can simply go to ksfr.org, ksfr.org.
and hit the little button that says Pledge Now, and you can pledge now. And if you don't want the tickets to tonight's event, you can get any of the other wonderful KSFR logo items, like the backpack or the jacket or the like nice little baseball cap. I think they've got a new color this year. So all of that is available, 428-1393. We want to thank the many people who have already made their contributions. You guys rock. The rest of you, the people who've never called before, the time has come, the walrus said, 428-1393. Hasta mañana. Ciao.
This is...